episode 177 of Your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. Today is July 17th, 2012. I'm Greg DeLacy, your host, and with me this week, co-hosting Mr. Christopher Matthew.
What? That guy doesn't come to the show anymore.
Never. Never. Good to have you back, Chris.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Did you survive? Was it homework last week? Did I get that correct? I'm sure I didn't do any justice to what you actually had to do.
No, so it was actually homework. I mean, so I'm in a school, right? And schools have homework. I took a weekend off to go visit the family, and I had some catching up to do based on that.
Got it. And your mighty powerful PC destroyed your computer homework?
Yeah, that was actually my work PC. I was able to recover it, thankfully. Bonehead operator error.
Again, I stick with you should have said the dog ate it. Just saying.
Yeah, but the dog's in Rhode Island, dude. I mean, if the dog in Rhode Island can eat my homework in Alabama, I need a new dog. You know what I'm saying?
Make that or you promote that dog and take it on shows.
That's the true American way.
America.
Look here. I have a dog that can eat your homework.
Yeah, and hey, we just heard from Mr. Mike Chin.
Hello.
Mike, good to have you back.
Yeah, not quite Jesus Christ, but close. What?
I take it the hair is growing out again?
No. I'm not doing that again. Jesus. exactly. No, I'm not going to grow my hair again. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm back. Been hunting for a
good
car, Greg. Been car hunting. Not my favorite thing to do in the world.
Did you go looking for, say, a Corvette like Mr. Matthew did?
No, because finding a Corvette in England, I would have to go to a specialist American garage which sells American cars and does too many miles to the gallon for a car in England. So, no.
So what you're trying to say is no.
Bought
to the gallon. Is your goal?
I don't know. I don't know anything about cars, which is why I don't like looking for them, Chris.
Oh, it is kind of important to understand the mileage you're going to get, Mike.
Well, the reason I ask, all right, is I put about 500 miles on my Corvette this weekend, and I was averaging about 30 miles to the gallon.
I can tell you, I do about 7,000 a year. Does that help?
Miles, right?
Yeah. How many times do you fill up your tank in those years, and how many gallons is your tank? Once we know those numbers, we can figure it out.
We don't do gallons. I don't know. Why is this I don't know. I go to the garage, and I was like, does this car drive? Is this fine?
Does it have a steering wheel? Does it have tires? Perfect.
Sweet. It's got an engine. Is that good? Is this fine that it has an engine? Is this bad? I can't remember if it's good or bad. Engine, good or bad. So
generally,
are you going with... Are you going with pinstriping?
I don't know what this means. What does this mean?
It's just the paint stuff.
Oh,
it's okay.
I don't know, Greg. It's a
engine,
silver car. It goes forward when I ask it to go forward. It goes backwards when I ask it to go backwards.
You're getting a talking car?
Yes.
That is awesome.
Yep, yep.
Connect.
Oh, forward.
Told you about them cars and connect.
You control it with the Kinect. It's from the makers of Steel Battalion, Greg, so you'll be pleased.
You are fucked.
Doesn't
you
really go where I want it to go. But still, you know, it's cheap, so what can you...
Good. Okay. Well, I'm glad you apparently found a car.
Yes, I did, yes.
Okay. Congratulations. Also joining us, we heard his voice chime in as well, Mr. Richard Primrose back to the show.
Yo. School Dogra.
Such enthusiasm.
Yep. Yeah. I am officially besotted with Mass Effect.
And me.
I don't even know. I can't even tell you what that means, besotted. It sounds like it shouldn't be talked about on shows. It's almost taboo.
I love her.
Yes. I'm exactly the same thing at the moment.
Understood.
Love Mass Effect.
Love Mass Effect. Yeah, can I tell you something you guys should not love nor ever attempt to see? Star Trooper 3. Starship Trooper 3,
but
yes.
You saw the first one, right?
I saw the first
one.
And
after that, it's your own fault.
No, agreed. And it was one of those things where I saw it on the TV guide, and I was like, why don't I just take a chance on it? I was in the mood for a sci-fi flick, you know?
Right.
So I recorded it. 15 minutes in, I was just done. Could not take any more. And I am a little bit less intelligent for having seen that show.
I don't know why we're talking about films all of a sudden, but I saw a film this week, Greg, and I had equal love for the film. But this was a pretty highbrow film. You know, Starship Troopers, I imagine, right? This is pretty trash. The first one was stupid, but it kind of knew it was stupid, and that was the point. But this one, I watched Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Yeah. It's a British film.
It's meant to be quite good.
It is meant to be quite good, but it was a little bit too much work for me. I mean, I like, you know, something that way you have to think a little and... Yeah, you know, but it was just a little bit too much work for me to comprehend. Maybe it was the mood I was in. And you know that Eddie Izzard bit, Chris, where he's talking about British films when they're just arranging matchsticks?
Yep.
It felt like that. It felt like they were just arranging matchsticks for most
this
of it.
Sebastian? Oh, I better go then. Yeah, that bit.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, the first 15 minutes is the main guy just walking around. It's tough. It's a tough watch. A lot of people do like it. I've heard the same thing, that it was good. When I just watched it, I was like, nope. Good cast. Good group of people. Tom Hardy's in it. So, I don't know. I just didn't really go for it.
Didn't that garner some Academy Awards?
It did, yeah. It did well. It did really well. I just thought it was a bit meh. Like, it was just too much hard work. What was going on? Who's who? The story, like the timeline just jumped everywhere and it wasn't really clear, and I just didn't like it. So,
fair enough.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Yeah. Sorry.
It's no Starship Trooper 3.
No, I think that's the only time that those two films are going to get compared to each other.
Quite possibly. All right, well, let's move on. Let's talk some video games, guys.
Yeah.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so video games. Mr. Matthew, I think you are going to be the shortest list of this discussion, so we're going to start with you.
All right. I have not played any video games.
Sweet.
Done.
I did, however, play a bit of... Forza 4, faux real, as I like to call it.
Oh, yeah.
I found a nice twisty stretch of mountain road and went zipping around the curves, not violating the speed limit, just flying around the mountain road. It was good fun.
Excellent. So you're enjoying the new vehicle.
Yeah, good times.
Good, good, good. Now, do you have I believe it's T-top?
Well, it's called the Target Top. But, yeah, the whole roof comes off. It's not just the two halves.
Oh, okay. And were you topless for this drive?
No, because that would scare the locals. Also increases drag.
Yes, but given that you were actually doing the speed limit, I figured.
Yeah. Nobody wants to follow right. My car, though, Greg. They do want to hear about scribble knots on the iPad, though.
I don't think they do, but we're going to hear about it anyways. Mr. Primrose.
Oh, is it me next, is it?
It is.
Yeah. I've been playing lots of games. I think I've had probably one of the most satisfying weeks of gaming since I got myself a console this week.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely.
So how is the divorce?
Yeah. No, plenty of night shifts from the other half. Helps.
That would have been horrible if you really got divorced. Like, and I just took a chance.
I know. Just on the heels of the anniversary, too.
Thank God you didn't say it. It's not funny, Mike. I just split up. It's the worst time of my life. Video games are my only escape. I'm sorry.
A story for you. John Mile 5 posted up something about the fact that Greg was talking about hot sex and me turning up for the podcast on the last one. And this result.
Oh, we have that. We do have that. We'll be talking about that later, of course.
Yeah, and also
on the back of that, because my wife sees the Twitter feed of mine, she then proceeded to ask if she could listen to last week's podcast. So I had to download it to listen to it and show her the evidence. And, yeah.
Remind me what that was about.
You, Gregors, are in for some shit whenever you come over to the UK, mister.
I can't remember what this is about. Remind me.
I wasn't meant to be on last week because I was going out for a meal for my anniversary. Suffice to say, I did get back and I did get on the podcast, so Greg was giving me shit.
Yes.
And that was it.
If the missus is listening this week, no harm, no foul?
Plenty of harm and plenty of foul in an Italian's eyes, mister.
That's true.
The bottom right. case is that.
Scribble knots, Primrose. Yeah. Scribble knots. Focus. Focus.
iPad. Quick.
Yeah, what should we pay you for?
Quickly. Scribble knots. Got that down on the iPad. And played that with my son this weekend. Much improved from the DS version, I thought. So, that was quite a lot of fun I had on that. And kept my young man entertained. And it was very well priced as well. I think it was only 69p. So
69p. Yeah, you do all right. Mate.
But there is something which I found intriguing. I've got to look it up on the internet. But you can, as soon as you start it up, you get blasted with this big advert saying, "Why don't you join Scribble Knots World?" And then that I think is an extra cost. But the actual game is giving you like 10 worlds of 10 levels, so there's plenty there to go at to start off with, but I don't know if that's a multiplayer thing or what, but I'll look into that on the internet and get back to you if anybody's interested. So moving on from that, I tried out Spelunky.
I tried this.
You had a go, didn't you, Greg?
I tried it.
Same as me, I think. Platformer has some interesting different mechanics in it, whereas you can actually destroy the parts of the levels with bombs and stuff. I found some of the control to be a bit weird because it has like a secondary jump, which is a long one, but it seemed a bit aggressive on the speed.
You mean when you have to run and jump? Just like
It was like, a bit speedy. So I don't know if it makes for very flowing gameplay when you get into it, but it was okay. I feel that I probably wouldn't be giving it a fair shake because I was coming off the back of just completing another game that I'm going to go on to. So and I thought, I'll try something else out, and then I thought no. And I was still in the euphoria of finishing another game. So that was all right. I also bought Quantum Conundrum.
You bought it.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
So I played the demo of it, which is a very good demo because it does. I don't know if anybody's heard much out and about it, but lots of comparisons have been made to Portal for starters, because of one of the, I believe it's a lady on the design team was involved in Portal, and left Valve and started making this. And it does a really good job of showing you the different mechanics involved in the game. So, to open, basically what you get to do is you get given a glove and you can, either the room will dictate what quantum mechanic you're using, as they call it, or you can dictate it by using your trigger buttons and your bumper buttons. So the first one they show you is the fluffy dimension, which basically, anything in that room, an object that you can pick up, will become light, and you can manipulate it. So they have various different objects planted around. Like, there's a lot of safes in the world, which obviously are going to be heavy. So you switch to the fluffy world, and you can pick them safes up, move them around, and do different stuff with them. And it does a really good job of showing you how you can use them things in the world. So basically, there's a short level where it will show you that if you throw a safe whilst it's fluffy and then quickly switch back to normal world, that safe will you know, keep its weight back to normal, and then you can do things like smash glass and so on to help you progress through a level. And then it moves on to the next mechanic, which is the exact opposite, which is heavy. So you've got the heavy dimension, and obviously that can be used for various things to do with blocking lasers and so on. You could have, say, a normal cardboard box, you switch it to the heavy dimension, and as long as you throw that thing at the right time and switch it, then it will then become heavy and the laser can't get past it. If it's a normal world, it just goes straight through a cardboard box, obviously. And then the last one, which they show you, is a slowdown. So time slows down, and you can use that to, say, navigate a fan that's spinning really fast and do different things with that. So it just struck me as being pretty cool straight away, so I opted to buy into it. It's as enjoyable with the puzzle aspects as Portal, but the story, obviously, you know, it's going to have to go a long way to beat the story with Portal, and it's not going to get there, I don't think. But it's very pleasing to the eye. It's got sort of a Team Fortress type illustration to it, the style of it, and they've got like a professor narrating you through all the different levels and so on, and yeah, it's very enjoyable. So probably went through about 10 levels of that and find it really good. But the puzzles are really, really challenging.
Yes, I have heard that. I heard they're even more so than Portal 2.
Yeah, yeah. So it's one of them games that, you know, that you can pick up on any day you want and just do a level and then move on and come back to it later on. So, yeah, that was very good. And then on an Xbox Live Arcade spending spree, I've noticed Microsoft were doing their job very well, and they had planted on the front page the Microsoft Studio sale.
Yes.
On the front page, there was a Toy Soldiers Cold War. So I can remember back when that came out, I says, once this gets reduced, I'll get it. And lo and behold, I got it. And I'm enjoying that really well. It's
good game.
It's great, yeah. So it's got the leaderboards there and everything. So I'm cracking through that. Started out off very low in my rankings because I don't really keep my eye on, you know, the scores and saving. I know Greg's the one with the tactics for all of this stuff, like selling all your stuff off when you know near the end, just so you've got more money in the bank and all that lot. So I've just been going through it nice and leisurely and picked up a few decent places on the leaderboard and then not so good on others. But yeah, it's really good. And I like the whole idea of the battery operated toys. So you can, you're not just cemented to the floor moving around and doing tower defense. You can actually get into vehicles and drive them around on a timed basis and use batteries to recharge yourself and so on. So thoroughly enjoying that. And again, it's going to be another one that I'll just pick up and, you know, spend half an hour, do a level, and then move on. So that was really good. Little bit of Ghost Recon with Gregors on Saturday.
I was Ghost Recon like a fool this past weekend. Once I remembered that it was a double XP weekend, I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah. We were struggling at point, and I think I read up that it's a bit of a common theme where there's issues with server and so on, getting dropped from servers and host migration.
I was going to say, it comes and goes. It's like sometimes that game will just work flawlessly, and then there's other times where you'll just hit kind of like a 5 to 10 minute time period where it's like you're constantly fighting to try and get into a room. And what I kind of found is that it's almost attached to a game mode. So if you're in, say, Conflict, and you're just struggling to get into a game and have it actually launch, because you'll pretty much know right away. You'll get into the lobby and you'll see it fill up with people, and you'll notice the timer is either just static or there's no timer at all, and that just, you know, right away you're not doing anything. And so what I'll end up doing is I'll bounce out of Conflict and go into a game mode like Decoy, and it seems to work just fine. So I you know, that could just be blind luck, but for whatever reason that seemed to have worked for me so far.
So we tried to couple of games of the modes that weren't so popular, so we with us anyway, and we tried a few games of Siege, and a few games of Decoy. Decoy I found really enjoyable. Siege, not so much.
Yeah.
Because it was a search and destroy type scenario, which is probably my favourite mode in Modern Warfare and that. But because we're not, I'm not as adept with the maps and so on, I find myself putting myself in some silly positions and getting kicked into the lob there fairly quickly. So, yeah. But yeah, good fun. Yeah. Find it a bit frustrating that I'm not getting guns unlocked very much. It's not like the Modern Warfare where you seem to have something come blasting in your face every game. But, you know, I think you've got to put a few hours into it, and I've just been playing it at my leisure, so still enjoying it and having good fun with it. Yeah.
I would agree, Rich, that I think they could have used a few more guns per class, if you will, because it they almost kind of have this this, like, you'll have like for, like, say the assault soldier, you have a shotgun or a submachine gun, and those are your two, like, basic weapons that are unlocked from the get-go. And then as you go up in rank, once you get to an unlocked gun level, it's kind of like it unlocks another shotgun or another, you know, machine gun. And it kind of always is giving you two kind of equivalent type guns, but you just don't feel, yeah, there's not as big a roster to choose from per class. But the other part of it that maybe, you know, you kind of overlook, but it's just not quite as sexy as unlocking a gun, is that you can unlock different attachments for your guns. And so as you are leveling up, you're earning points, and then you can go into the customization and really start messing around with your gun and giving it a shorter barrel if you want, or just purchasing the shorter barrel. So you could, you know, then take a sniper rifle, put the short barrel on it, and it almost becomes like an assault rifle. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway.
Yeah,
we'll get new guns with the map pack this week.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah.
And also a new game mode, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah,
yeah.
And maps.
Yeah.
I'm already making you spend money, Rich.
No, I've spent enough just recently. Thank you very much. Yeah. So next up, I played and completed Walking Dead episode 2.
Did it officially live up to the hype? That
it was good. Yeah, it was good. I don't know if it was just me and my copy that I've downloaded, but I did have a couple of issues with, you know, characters jumping and stuff and weird things happening on screen towards the end of it.
Interesting.
Which pulled me out of the experience.
I think Stu had that problem, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
A little glitchiness, huh?
Yeah. It's a weird thing, though, you know, because it's a downloadable title. I think you're a bit more forgiving of things like that. And the story, you know, the characters and everything, it is excellent. And I thoroughly enjoyed the story. I still maintain what I said in the first place. The first half of it, I think it was doing a few too many gamey things, which I said was a bit weird in the first place. It seemed to ease off on that. In the second half, and I found that was more enjoyable for myself, you know, because you're taking in the story and everything. A few gruesome bits in it. I found myself as well, it was very clever in, I don't know if it was a deliberate escalation in what they were doing to do with your main relationship with Clementine, but they were doing a few things with regards to making sure that she was in an area where you had to make a decision that might have been a bit gruesome, and that played on how you made your decisions, and I thought that was very clever.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's not get spoilery.
I'm not. You're
skirting the line.
Yeah, I'm skirting the line. You don't have to rein me in, boy. I know what I'm doing. overall, yeah, very good. The lead into the next one as well was very good, and it tied up well with the way that they ran off the episode, and that's all I'll say about that. And it was.
I think they've done a good job, from what I can tell, from episode to episode, of just kind of tying things up nicely, but leaving it kind of open ended and feeling like you're part of a TV show,
yeah.
Moving on to the next episode. So, and I do like that they kind of recap it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm very interested to play the next one as well, because the next one is the one that's been written by the guy that Giant Bomb did the extensive interview with. So it'll be good to see what he actually did, because he did come across as being very into his project, as it were. So hopefully that's going to show through on that episode. So we'll wait and see what happens with that one. Yeah, so
speaking of that, yep. Rich, I was going to kind of elaborate on that. I did find it interesting that Walking Dead, apparently each episode is being written and kind of directed, if you will, by different people on
different
the team.
Different ones, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I was a little, when I first heard that, I was a little worried that there might be some kind of consistency issues, that you weren't going to get that kind of same feel throughout the game, but apparently they've done a pretty good job in keeping that in check.
Yeah, and I think the good thing as well, from what I got from when they was talking about that, was that they're all still obviously collaborating and talking.
Yeah, they're all sitting in the same seat, or, you know, yeah. They all sit in the same office still. No one's swapping chairs or anything when they do these, like, different roles. But I'm sure they all have similar input as well. It's just like, you've got your name on this one, so you have the final say of what we all think.
Yeah.
That's how I imagine it to be.
It's a nice way of approaching it. Yeah. And the final one is Mass Effect 3.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Greg might have something to say about next week about that, so I'll let you speak first, and then I'll go into what my thoughts were.
All right, so we're going to avoid any kind of spoiler talk this week, but we've established that Mike is most likely going to be able to finish his Mass Effect 3 playthrough by next week.
Yeah.
So next week's show, we absolutely will get back into and kind of, in a sense, do another spoiler cast on Mass Effect 3, even though we've already kind of done one already. We're going to talk about it fairly in-depth now with all four of us, assuming we're all four here. But it'll be refreshing to get two more opinions, both having played through the game as it shipped, and then playing through with the Final Cut DLC added in,
mm-hmm.
and see what you guys think of that. So anyway, so for tonight, Rich, we'll let you talk, spoiler-free, of course.
Yep.
I know you had a couple things you wanted to mention, but we'll save the juicy bits for next week. And, of course, we'll warn people next week before we start talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, all I'm going to outline is basically I finished the game, and I would say as a franchise overall, now looking back at all of it, I'd definitely say it's the best thing I've played ever on the console.
Wow.
It is so good, and I don't think I've been as moved by a game as I have in this. This thing emotionally moved me so much, man. It was such a good experience, and a bad experience, and it was just pulling me left and right all the way through it. There were things to do with circumstances in my previous plays that had knock-on effects in this one, and decisions that I had, so many bad things go wrong with the key people that I'd played with through two and so on that happened. And it was at one point I was just gutted about some of the things that occurred, and a lot of them are to do with and it is one key thing. You know, a lot of people talk about the relationships in the game. I had a point in my game where I lost the person that was my key relationship from two, and it had more or less picked up straight away from me playing three, and I couldn't bring myself to get into another relationship with anybody else. It was crazy, and you know, if you used to compare it as well, I was thinking to myself whilst I was playing it, do a comparison with, like, any sort of science fiction movie or whatever that I've played. And because you've got that extra aspect of you making the decisions and so on, I don't think I've been to the cinema and have anything equivalent to it in my life. It was unbelievable. And I was really, really impressed with the way that it all panned out, even though it wasn't as satisfying as I thought it would have been by the end of it. But the scoring on it, the original music in that game is so good, and there's a key tune in that whole game that it's just been ringing through my head for the past week. You know, the piano break and that, and then it
right.
just goes into the Reaper. Awesome. Awesome game.
I wish the Reaper sound effect was that. Just like...
Yeah, we see, you know, normal podcasts, what they'll be doing is they'll be stripping that in later on, but I know that Greg's right. not bothered about that.
No, I won't do that. I'll just let your voice ring true. I have a question, actually, for, I think, everybody here. Chris, I can't recall if you played Walking Dead or not, but one of the things I was listening to a different show, and they were talking about it, and it was a question that kind of rang true with me, which was my decision-making in Mass Effect 3, and quite honestly, any of the Mass Effect games, I don't really recall any decisions I made as being all that like truly memorable. Yet with The Walking Dead, I can go back and I think back to it, and I know certain decision points, and I already, you know, kind of have them ingrained as being important decisions and memorable ones. And I'm wondering kind of why that is. And I wonder if possibly it's because in The Walking Dead, when you have those important decision moments, they actually have that little timer. You really you kind of panic over those decisions. You really, like... You know, you kind of get into the heat of the moment, whereas in Mass Effect 3, you can pretty much, you know, kind of wait, think about your choice of, you know, your decision, and then make it, and you're never kind of pushed to make a decision in a quick time frame.
I think it's more to do with, like, in Walking Dead, it's a little bit more, believe it or not, grounded decisions, like, do you save this person right. or this person, where in Mass Effect 3, the decisions are, do you side with this alien race or save this planet? And it's like so it's so wrapped in fiction that you know that it's just not, you know, it's a video game, even though it's very, I mean, it's very immersive at the same time. But you realize that you're living a fantasy role, basically. It's all nonsense. But with Walking Dead, it's like, do I save, you know, the geek or the girl, or, you know, this certain reality to it. And I suppose, you know, in The Walking Dead, you're not, you know, Shepherd. Oh, yeah,
I think clearly we can all relate to a zombie apocalypse better than we can a space war.
Maybe.
That's what it boils down to.
Oh, but like, you're not Shepherd, are you, in Walking Dead? You're an ordinary guy.
True.
But, you know, in Mass Effect, you're Shepherd, you're Spectre, you're known throughout the galaxy, you're this superhero. So maybe you just feel a bit more vulnerable in The Walking Dead, and you think every decision could be your life, you know, could be serious consequences where...
Or somebody else's life. I think that maybe is even more important.
I mean, but in Mass Effect, you know you're pretty much going to live.
Right, you're not dying.
you know, all the people might die, but you know that you're going to live.
True.
Something of note that I've taken from it as well is a lot of people were talking about pacing of it and the fact that, you know, because you're in like this dire situation with a war looming and stuff, they thought some of the things to do with the game were just not realistic, that you'd be wandering around the Citadel and perhaps going to the nightclub and taking your time whilst the galaxy's like falling around.
Well, that was an argument too, as well.
Yeah, but for me, I don't know. I'm not really a completionist, so I'm not too bothered about what I'm getting done. It was like the main story was all the time. That was what was driving me through. So,
right.
I mean, I think by the time I'd finished, I was only at like, was it about 50% readiness? So, you know, I by no means I'd not gone out and done loads of menial side quests and stuff, because I felt the urgency of what was going on all the time in the main story, and that was driving me on all the time to just, you know, try and hit key points. And for me, that made it all the more satisfying. It's sort of like, you know, if you went in to say watch a 2-hour movie and that was driving you along with the pace of the story, and it was almost as if that was what was happening with my game, but it was like a natural flow that was just occurring, and it didn't feel off at any time.
I felt they addressed that a lot better, because in 2 it did feel like he was just waiting around, because you knew, like, the collectors were coming, yeah, whatever. But in 3, I think they did a better job of, like, yeah, you know, every time there was, like, I feel guilty for having a rest. There was one point where, who was it? I think it was Ashley, I think, says, you know, I feel guilty for taking some time out. And Shepard says, well, you know, you've got to take some time out, you'll go mad otherwise. And all the side quests that you haven't done, Rich, I don't consider them a waste of time, because you gain war assets from them. Like, you know, so-and-so will go, oh, thank you very much, here's a fleet.
Yeah. So, I agree with you, but I think, you know, each individual's getting driven by their own feelings inside whilst they're playing the game.
Because I've played it very differently to you, because I've taken my time, I've done as much as I can, collected as much as I can, and, you know, like, my readiness is just full bar, pretty much, and I'm not finished. Greg's told me that I'm not too far, but I'm still got some. I'm guessing I've still got some stuff to do. I just consider that, like, all these missions are pretty much useful, because I'm gaining not squad members anymore. I'm gaining armies. I'm gaining, you know.
You never feel like the side missions are the trivial, like, I was wanting to collect some ants, and I hear there's space ants on this planet. Will you go fetch them for me? You don't have too many of those type missions.
Not a lot of
those.
No,
like
3. And I think
a lot of the little ones is like, I need this poison dart, poison stuff to cure this Turian, because he's dying, and we need more people alive for the fight. So, you know, like, so you're helping the doctors in the hospital floor. Because we need more people to be fit and well. You know, that kind of makes sense. It doesn't tell you that. It's just my assumption. But it makes sense.
I mean, I have a majority of the side quests as well, that they, because they've got such a good backstory now that you've been used to, a lot of them we used to, like, round off storylines, which obviously worked very well. I did think there was a couple of menial things that you'd find normally in the Citadel and so on,
sure.
With a guy asking you to go around and get certain photo opportunities and stuff like that. And
even that, though, like, I related to that, because, like, you know,
let's dial back the talk, because we've got all next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to go into the spoiler stuff. But I do have one important question to ask, and we'll wrap up on this question with Mass Effect 3. Does anybody know what that side room is on the Normandy when you're going from the communications room and you have to pass through the security gate where the two security people are talking? There's that little side room.
Yeah, that was the tech development place in 2, wasn't it?
Right.
And you've got use for it in this one for some reason.
That room is empty.
Because I got rid of one of the people that died in mine from the second one was Morden. And I thought, oh, there's just no, you know, if he was here, then he might be in that room. But
Morden was alive for 2 of mine, but I've seen Morden again. So no, he's definitely not in that room. I've not even noticed that room, to be honest.
Yeah. It's like every time I walk past it, I was like, someone's going to be in here sometime.
You know what pisses me off?
This is going to have a use.
That's the meeting with the Solarians to discuss whether or not to cure the Genophage. It's the conference room.
But did you use it in Mass Effect 3?
Yeah, in that meeting that I just told you about.
See, I don't recall that, but okay.
So you mean the room with the table and everything?
Yes, the plan.
What are you talking about? You have loads of, like, meetings in there.
No.
Chris is right. You do have that one to do with
the Genophage,
but that was all I
could
do.
I've definitely had 2 meetings in there. Definitely had 2.
Well, it's just one of those funny things, because it's this open room, this table, no chairs, no decorate, just there.
It's like, I've had 2 meetings in there, definitely. Definitely.
All right, well, before we move on,
the very bottom floor of the Normandy, there's 2 people, there's 2 staff at the back, and they do fuck all. They just talk to each other. I was like, you know what? You can both just go. Just get off my Normandy. It's shit. Just talking to each other all day. What are you doing?
There was another thing as well. I've got another one. You know the doctor's room? And then you go through to that next room where I think Legion was in the second game.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they kept him. You know, the ladder and all that lot that in the... When you get invaded by the... The collectors and stuff. That don't get used in this one, does it? Because I kept thinking that's going to get used again, and it never did.
No.
The hidey hole down below. Yeah, anyway, that's me done. Move on.
All right. Mike, we kind of covered your bits already. I can't believe we're still talking about what we've been playing. But Mass Effect 3, we talked about. Spelunky.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Right.
I think it's shit.
Hated it.
I think it's shit. I think it's a bit shit.
Like, that's okay. You can have your opinion.
I've heard good things about it, and that's why I play it, because I downloaded it, and I wasn't that excited about playing it. I kept on hearing good things about it. I was like, you know, I should give this a play. And straight away, it's making me read, and that's not a good start with me.
No, reading is never good.
And then, like, randomly, you can tell the levels are randomly generated, because they're not very fun, and they're just stupid, and... Well, random, because you go up a ladder and it goes up to nothing, and you're like, what the fuck's the point in this? So it's just stupid. I don't like it at all. I just don't like it.
Okay.
It's
fair enough.
Fun. It's just not fun. Like, the random generated levels just don't work in this game. It just makes it pointless.
There's a time and a place for it.
You know, what I found pointless in the demo as well is you get your first bit, and it lets you pick, like, an avatar for your character, and then it starts the demo levels off. And then it just picks somebody completely different that you've got to play as anyway.
Well, when you go through the tutorial, then you go back to yours, because that's like a flashback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just seemed a bit weird. I'd lost chest by then anyway, so.
And we know, Mike, Walking Dead episode 1.
Yep, finished that. Brilliant. Fantastic. Good job. Very good. Yeah.
I got good news, Mike.
Yeah.
Episode 2's out.
I know, yeah. I just haven't played it yet. I just haven't played it. But no, it's great. It ended well, and it was like, hey, we're safe. No, we're not. Oh, shit.
You're never safe. You're never safe.
No. So I thought it was cool. I thought it was really cool. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to episode 2. I don't think I need to say any more about that, because everyone says it's awesome. So, yeah.
Okay. I'll move over to me. So Ghost Recon, we already talked about that. I finished up Spec Ops The Line.
Ooh.
I have to say, this game, it surprised me in so many ways. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. I actually thought it was a really good story, and one of the better stories told this year in terms of in-game stories. I think where this game kind of lost me a little bit was some of the audio clips they used for kind of in-game action audio, you know, how your main character side characters will usually have that, you know, set of lines that they'll kind of repeat as they're in combat.
Gotcha.
And let me just say, Nathan Drake / Nolan North, he drops the F-bomb like it is, you know, it's going to be the last time he ever gets to use it, and so he just wants to use it over and over again. I mean... It got to the point of being ridiculous. And here I'm playing the game. My wife's over in the corner. She's like, oh, you're playing that game again.
That's not good.
And it was just because, I mean, within, I don't know, 10 minutes, I heard the F-bomb dropped at least once every 30, 45 seconds. And I don't mind swearing in games. But it's because it was on his loop of what he was supposed to be saying in combat.
Yeah.
And you dropped another, fucker. And it's just, you hear that over and over and over again. So that kind of grated on me a little bit. The in-story dialogue, you know, he'd drop an F-bomb here and there. It actually fit. It made sense. But the stuff during combat just got really repetitive.
Just kept on going. Now that happens in – that used to happen quite in older games. It doesn't happen so much now. But, like, it's a bit of a –
That's why I was a little surprised.
But if that's one of the problems that you bring up, then that's not too bad.
No, it's not. I mean, it really was a good game.
I've got it sitting here, Greg. I've got it sitting right here. Yeah. It's right next to me.
What did you think, Greg, of the character regression, as it were? You know, like how they're deteriorating throughout the game. Did you think? I thought that was quite nice, quite subtle, the way that they were.
It was pretty darn subtle. Because you really, I almost want to say it happens kind of in a very dramatic change at one point, because. It's very subtle changes to him, almost kind of like to draw an equation to like Batman in Batman Arkham City, when you start seeing his uniform getting a little bit beat up, and as you progress into the story, you're noticing it being more and more beat up. And
I
then,
love that, you know, Arkham Asylum.
Like you blink and suddenly you're like, holy crap, he's beat to hell.
I just remember seeing, and I remember like floating down my cape and seeing holes in my cape, and I was like, how did I get holes in my cape? Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So. That happens, and to me, for whatever reason, it like went night and day. It was like suddenly I looked at my character and I was, holy crap, he has been through the shredder. He just looked like he was beat up. I just think that the dialogue back and forth between the character and his squad mates, the main character, I should say, and his squad mates is really well done. And at first I thought it was being just kind of campy, and I almost wanted to kind of dismiss it. But then I really started to listen to it, and especially because I got to the end and I see how everything played out, and then kind of looking back, I'm like, oh, okay. They do some good twists, some good kind of story, non-traditional, combat twists, if you will. I will also say that you get to the end of the game, you're going to get to make some choices, but when you get to the end of the game and it rolls credits, just let the credits play out.
One of those, and huh?
Depending on what happened before the credits came, okay?
There are multiple endings then.
Yes, there's multiple endings, huh. And there's actually technically four endings to this game.
Jesus Christ.
There's two before the credits, and then there is two after the credits.
Okay.
And all of them actually have fairly sizable achievements attached to them for those achievement hunters out there. So
no.
Let the credits roll. The good news is that you can go back and easily play through that again.
Oh,
and just go
to yes.
The selection. And, but yeah, let it play out. And there's a nice little, you know, kind of one of those extra ending moments that you see in movies all the time now. They do that in the game, and amazingly, it had achievements associated with it. So I was like, holy crap, I'm glad I stuck around for the credits. And I don't know why, I just thought, you know what, I'm going to let the credits play, because something told me there was more to the end story than there was. But that was based on one of my decisions. So, well done. I can highly recommend Spec Ops: The Line. It is not, again, the game of the year, be all end all, but it is a great story. I think if this game had a graphical level of, say, a Battlefield 3 or even a Call of Duty Modern Warfare,
you think that's what it needed, like graphics? Like,
I do. I think if it had a better graphical sheen to it, this game would have been received even better. Because the shooting mechanic is solid. There's nothing wrong with this game. The cover system sometimes can be quirky. And absolutely, the enemy AI could have used a dose of intelligence.
Brain juice?
Yeah, a little brain juice. There was nothing like having them jump to the other side of the cover and just basically being exposed.
There's always that guy in every game.
I mean, I can nitpick a lot of little things. There's, you know, certain enemy types, that will just, you know, charge at you with a knife.
Yeah, I've seen those in the demo. It's like,
yeah, it's one timer, two times, okay, but then it's like an actual enemy type, the knifer dude or the guy on the field
brute,
with a knife,
like the brute or something, right. Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, instead of them calling out, you know, just enemies or soldiers coming at you, it's you'll hear, shotgunner on the field, or, you know, shotgunner coming. And it's, okay, there's a guy with a shotgun. Are you really saying every time you see a guy with a shotgun, he's a shotgunner? because that just is like kind of gaming talk, not soldier lingo. I don't think Chris on a battlefield would ever be saying, "Shotgunner coming."
Would you, Chris?
He'd be like, "Dude, waste that guy."
Yeah, we wouldn't really say any of those things.
Yeah. I kind of figured. But, no, I mean, overall, though, it is a good story and good voice acting. Nolan North, despite all the F-bombs, he delivers a great performance, I think.
Yeah.
So, I think you'll enjoy it, Mike.
I'm looking forward to it, Heard good things, Greg.
Right.
Me and you have similar tastes, so I'm sure I'll like it.
It can be scary sometimes,
apart,
I tell you.
Apart from mech games. That's why we mean you and I. Part ways.
I guess we should talk some new releases, guys.
Yay.
All right, so new releases this week. On the Wii, nothing. 3DS, there's a game.
Yeah.
Heroes of Ruin, yay for 3DS. PS Triple. No new releases in terms of the retail shelves, but we do have some PSN games this week. You've got Dyad, which is getting a lot of attention.
What's that?
Tempest. Mike, do not play that game. You will die.
Okay.
It's bright, flashy lights.
Is it like The Ring? But like, if you watch it, you'll die.
Oh, you might. You could well do.
Okay.
There is a Record Agarest of War 2. Resident Evil, The Dark Side Chronicles, and Resident Evil, The Umbrella Chronicles. If I could say that without sounding like I'm drunk. All coming to PSN this week. DLC this week, you've got Ghost Recon, Future Soldier, Arctic Strike, and Mass Effect 3 Earth DLC.
Downloaded.
Downloaded. Done. The PS Vita. Xbox 360.
The fifth?
There's really nothing. There's nothing listed on Xbox Live
Still
Arcade
in
or
the
demo.
Lull.
But I thought I could have swore that Tony Hawk HD was supposed to be coming out this week.
Yeah, it's the Summer of Arcade. Isn't it?
Summer of Arcade kickoff. So that was
as well. All right.
I do believe so. Yes. Let's see, a DLC front, we do have stuff. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, the July premium content pack comes out this week. Ghost Recon Future Soldier Arctic Strike, and Mass Effect 3 Earth DLC again coming out this week. Moving over to the deals stuff, PSN Plus, you get 20% off Dyad. Free PS1 sports games also for PSN Plus members. So keep that out on the radar if you're so inclined. Deals of the week for Xbox Live: Clash of Heroes, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and some of the Ruse packs, the map packs for the game Ruse. It's a little strategy game, all on sale, pretty much half off. And that's it for new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, so it is news quiz time, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Mike, we're going to start with you.
Hello!
What game
42.
Did Sony... Really, Mike?
Shit.
Really? Mike, what game did Sony lose out exclusivity rights to... because they wanted to own the IP? Was it Shadow Complex, Limbo, or Trials HD?
Sony.
Yes, Sony. Which of those games did they lose out exclusivity rights to because they wanted to own the IP?
As I recall, none of them are on the PlayStation.
Exactly. I can't do this much longer.
Hold on. Limbo, Trials. What was the other one?
Limbo, Trials, or Shadow Complex. No Googling.
No. I'm not by the computer.
Um,
I don't know.
Let's pick one.
Limbo. Limbo.
That's a good guess, Mike. It is Limbo, yes. In fact, Sony had been approached and said they wanted the IP rights, but Limbo didn't want to give up those IP rights. So they said, nope, taking it over to Microsoft.
Because, yeah, the only reason I picked Limbo is because it's a weird game, and Sony PSN titles tend to be weird, you know, like a bit obscure.
Now, one piece of correction before the haters email us, Limbo is on PSN. It just came out a year later. So it did finally reach Sony, but they paid the price for it.
So Sony said, oh, you can only release it on ours. But Microsoft probably said, no, you can go on multi-platform, but you just give us a year. Like you have a year.
Microsoft said, hey, yeah, we'll let you keep the IP, and we'll give you exclusivity on our Summer of Arcade. And so for that, we just want to have it first.
That's fair. You can see the attraction in that, can't you?
Like if you're I totally can see that.
Because you still get the PlayStation sales eventually. And they probably heard all the great things. So, oh, yeah, that worked out. Yeah. Good move.
All right. Chris, this one is absolutely up your alley.
Yeah.
It's kind of food-related, if you will.
Ooh, that's going to hurt.
Yeah. What new video app is making its way to the PSN in the near future? Is it A, Crunchyroll, B, Toasty Roll, or C, Soft Roll?
Crunchyroll, Toasty Roll, or Soft Roll?
One of those is legit.
I haven't the foggiest notion, so I'm going to go with Soft Roll.
Yeah, you should have gone with the Crunchyroll. Yeah, dang. Crunchyroll, an online purveyor of on-demand anime and Korean dramas. Apparently is going to extend its services over to the PS Triple. So you can get your Crunchyroll on in the near future.
I like California Roll.
All right, Rich.
Dynamite Roll, Spicy Tuna Roll, those are good.
Oh, Rich, Sonic Adventures 2 is coming to what platform platforms this fall? Is it A, PSN XBLA, B, 3DS, or C, the Vita?
God, I don't think I've ever had as little interest in a question that you've asked me ever before in my life. PSN and Xbox.
That's a good guess. Yes, during the San Diego Comic-Con, it was announced that Sonic Adventure 2 is coming to XBLA and PSN, the port of the Dreamcast Classic.
Where will I learn that no one cares about Sonic? Like, no one.
Never. They'll never learn. Mike.
Hello.
Lots of Halo 4 news came out this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, from Halo 4 Forward Unto Dawn trailers to new Halo 4 consoles for $400. Lots of stuff. But what new feature was shown off or openly cut? Sorry, what new feature was shown off or openly cut from the game of Halo 4 multiplayer? That made no sense at all, and I will try to reiterate that. What feature?
I got it. What feature was cut from the main game?
It's not cut from the main game. It was shown off.
Oh. I'm confused.
Yes, I know. I made that absolutely confusing.
What new feature was shown off at this whatever? Right? Is that right?
Yes.
And the question is, work out the question.
Yeah, the question is, work out the question. I apologize to the listeners and to you, Mike, because as I was writing the question, apparently I got very distracted and then just continued on with a secondary thought to that question.
So the
question is, and I'm going to make this easy because I'm cutting out one choice. What new feature was shown off for Halo 4 at San Diego Comic-Con?
Okay.
Was it wielding a pistol while carrying a flag or voice commands using Kinect?
Voice commands, probably.
No, it was wielding a pistol while carrying a flag, which is the first. Yeah, so when you're the flag carrier, you now actually can shoot somebody.
That's a big deal, actually.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
They also did show off some new assassination animations, one specific with the flag carrier. He took the flag, knocked the guy down, and stabbed him through the chest with the flag. It was kind of nice.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right. On to Mr. Matthew. Gears of War Judgment got a release date, Chris. When is it? Is it A, March 12th, B, March 19th, or C, March 26th? Gears of War Judgment.
12th, 19th, or 26th? Is that what you said?
Yes.
19th.
That is a great guess, Chris. Yes, Epic revealed that March 19th will be the release date for Gears of War Judgment. Get your Baird and Cole on then.
Oh! Is Cole in it as well?
Yes. Young Cole, young Baird.
All right.
Yeah. Mr. Primrose.
Hmm?
What EA franchise will give you access to Battlefield 4 beta if you buy their next game this holiday? Is it A, Dead Space 3, B, Medal of Honor Warfighter, or C, Need for Speed Most Wanted?
Medal of Honor Warfighter.
Yes, that was kind of an obvious one, I guess. But yeah, Medal of Honor Warfighter apparently getting you access to Battlefield 4 beta in the fall of 2013. Yeah. Battlefield being annualized. Gotta love it. Let's see. I think, Mike, are you up next, or is it Mr. Matthew?
I don't know.
Well, Mike, we're going to torture you with the MPD numbers, because clearly you care about MPDs. Mm-hmm. The June MPDs came in, Mike. What game ranked number one in the top 10 software? Was it A, Diablo 3, B, Lego Man 2 DC Super Heroes, or C, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier?
Lego Man 2.
You would be correct. Yeah, Lego Man, taking top billing.
Are you sure you're reading that right? Lego Man.
Lego Batman. Apparently, I need to be a Lego Man. He's a new character. Come on, Lego
Man. We have been officially relegated to amateur podcast status.
Absolutely.
Ready for the Olympics.
Lego Shit. Man. I want a Lego Man in the DC universe.
I really want Lego Man to be the new
Save
character.
Save me, Batman. Sorry, we just got Lego Man today. Oh, shit.
Oh, I need a nap. well, now that I let the cat out of the bag, it doesn't matter. Lego Man or Lego Batman, either one.
I would have said that anyway, because it's probably...
DC superheroes.
I can't see Ghost Recon being top, so...
Well, Ghost Recon came to number two.
Did it?
How'd it go? Going, yeah.
Than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Diablo 3, number 3. Max Payne 3 came in at 4. NBA 2K12 at 5. Batman Arkham City at 6. Pokemon Conquest, number 7. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 at 8. Battlefield 3 at number 9. And The Amazing Spider-Man pulling up the 10 spot.
Is that any good, that Amazing Spider-Man?
I haven't heard great things about it. I mean, I haven't heard, like, awful things, but I haven't heard anybody saying greatest superhero game ever.
Just another subpar.
It's no Batman.
Yeah.
And it's no Lego Man. Clearly. Rounding out the NPD stuff, Xbox 360 sold 257,000 units in the month. PS3, approximately 195,000. 3DS came in at 3 at 155. Nintendo DS at 150. The Wii, sub 100,000 units at 95,000 units. And apparently the Vita and PSP combined sold right in around 100,000 units, which estimates put the Vita at about 70,000. So, not great numbers. Everybody was pretty
My
much
God.
On the Vita one. But
Vita is a brand new piece of hardware. That's bad.
Yeah, the Vita... You know, I look at what's going on there, and I just wonder if potentially the reason why Nintendo succeeds with the 3DS and Sony seems to struggle with the Vita and even the PSP back in the day, because the 3DS really feels like its own experience. You don't sit there and say, I've got a Wii, and I can play the same things on the 3DS. I mean, you definitely have different experiences, and I feel like Nintendo markets it that way. You know, the 3DS is its own console. The Wii was its own console. Whereas Sony seems to really be kind of going this avenue of the PS3 and the Vita, kind of you can get the same experience with your Vita as you do with your PS3, just in a handheld.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that hurts them, because I wonder if people almost have to choose which platform they're going to get, and then feel like they don't really need the other one because they're going to get a similar experience.
I don't know. I think this is a sign of... I think you're right, Greg, but I think this is a sign of, like, handhelds like that are gone. Like, I just don't see them doing very... I mean, because the Vita really is perfect in terms of, like, what you'd want in a handheld. If you want high spec, 2 analog sticks, it's got everything that you need to play really high-end, good-looking games. But, like, I'm not interested in it. I don't know. I don't think anybody here is interested in it. Not selling very well. I just think that mobile gaming is literally going to be mobile gaming on your phone. Like, that it's finished for those independent ones. Unless, like you said, they offer some kind of different experience that a mobile phone doesn't, like 3D, you know.
Also think there probably is something to be said about the kinds of experiences. I still am a pretty firm believer that handheld units and mobile phones, you know, the attraction to games on those for the majority of people is they want something to play as a time waster while they're doing something else. And that's where mobile gaming has taken off. It's, you know, you're in the line at the DMV or you're at the post office and, you know, you pull out your phone, you're playing a little game, Angry Birds, while you're waiting. It's not something that... It's going to take up a lot of time. You can pick up it, you play it, you can put it away, and you're not going to feel any worse for wear. And I think the 3DS gives you some of that same kind of feel from a lot of the games that they have on the 3DS.
Mm.
And I feel like the Vita and the PSP, to a certain degree as well, they didn't offer those kinds of experiences. The experiences on those machines has always been a more deeper console-like experience. And I just don't know that a vast majority of people, there certainly are people there that want that, but a vast majority of people don't want that from their mobile gaming. So,
no.
I don't know.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And you just got to bear in mind that when, you know, the DS first came out and when, you know, the Game Boy came out, people didn't have mobile phones. People don't have mobile phones. Now they do.
Everybody has a mobile phone now.
I don't think there's much need for people to have an independent handheld gaming device anymore.
People are just getting rid of single-use devices. Look at people under the age of 30. Very few of them wear wristwatches anymore because it's a single-use device.
Yeah, I don't wear a wristwatch anymore. I just have my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, what time is it? Got my phone. What day is it? Got my phone.
What's my name? Got my phone.
Got my phone. All right. That does it for the news quiz, guys. And once again, the listeners, clearly the losers for having had to listen to that.
Losers.
It's time for the break. And thanks to Mr. Primrose, crossing our fingers, we have a great little intermission. I won't call it a song. Reading, Rich? Is that really probably the best way to put it?
It is a reading. It is the guy that plays Duke Nukem. It's topical because we were talking about how all the ladies have been going crazy for 50 Shades of Grey. Well, this is Duke Nukem reading excerpts from 50 Shades of Grey.
So we've got that. Enjoy. And on the backside, we'll take up the community mailbag.
Get off the bed. Stand over here. He points to beside the bed and I scramble up and off in double time. He stares intently down at me, his eyes glittering with promise. Trust me? He asks. I nod. He holds out his hand and in his palm are two shiny silver balls linked with a thick black thread.
Silver balls?
Call it cold read.
These are new, he says emphatically. I look questioningly up. What? Questioningly? What are you saying?
We didn't say it was good grammar. Oh. Questioningly.
Thank you. I look questioningly up at him. I'm going to put these inside you. Then I'm going to spank you, not for punishment, but for your pleasure and mine. He pauses, gauging my wide-eyed reaction. Inside me, I gasp, and all the muscles deep in my belly clench. My inner goddess is doing the dance of the seven veils.
I have to do the next line.
Yep. Yes, please do.
Then we'll fuck. And if we're still awake, I'll impart some information about my formative years. Agreed? He's asking my permission. Ooh. Breathlessly, I nod. I'm incapable of speech. Good girl, open your mouth.
All right, we are back from the break, and time to dip into the mailbag. So, last week's question, what has been your favorite or strongest XBLA or PSN title so far this generation? And we got quite a few responses.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
So, Mike, I believe you are up first with the Gaming for the Elderly responses.
Yes. Right. So, on the Gaming for the Elderly, favorite XBLA PSN titles are Heathen, yes, Heathen, right, says The Walking Dead and Defense Grid. I don't think he's going to get any objection.
No, not from this group.
No, from this group, because we love both of those. Defense Grid, how brilliant. Marcanix, just for the sheer number of hours I put into it, and the whole community aspect, it has to be Minecraft.
Knew that was coming.
Which, I suppose I put some hours into that. Shinyverse says, my arcade game is always going to be Pac-Man Championship Edition DX. So I guess that's my favourite.
Good game.
He also likes Robotron and Defender 2. So those are kind of like the old retro games.
Yeah.
But I didn't get into Pac-Man Championship. You liked it? You too. Yeah.
I loved it.
I liked Robotron, but that's just a game out of my era. So.
Mark Annex replies, blah blah blah. Andy 932485 says one arcade game that I really enjoyed was Bastion. It's usually not my type, but it just hooked me in, and I was giving it a second run through. I will give it a second run through in the near future. Other than that, it's going to be Trolls Evolution or Hawks Must Die. So, Hawks Must Die. And there's a number two time coming with co-op. Brilliant.
Yes.
David the Alien, Defense Grid, of course. Minecraft, of course. But David also says Carcassonne, which is like the, it's like a tabletop kind of game, isn't it?
Right, right.
It's like a board game, I suppose, isn't it? Carcassonne.
Board game, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But I've never played it. I think I downloaded it, but I don't play it. Anybody care for Carcassonne on this podcast?
Meh.
I've not played it.
I mean, it's a strategy game, and I'm sure it would be a lot of fun playing with somebody you knew and going that route, but I was never too bothered.
Okay.
At least as I remember it correctly, that's the way it was.
Steve Almatic says Castle Crashers and Iron Brigade.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Still haven't played, or even tried, I'm afraid. Should try that.
Max, Mike. Max. Max.
Dauntless Ensemble? Assemble?
Ensemble. Dauntless Ensemble.
Says, in order. Nice, give us an order. I'll do it in reverse order for fun. Fruit Ninja Connect. Right, I'm not going to read on, because that's terrible. No, I'm joking.
No, come on.
D&D, Dungeons & Dragons, Daggerdale. Oh, my God, this... Oh, God. Hydrophobia.
Whoa.
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 Whoa, 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 whoa.
Plenty of room, plenty of room. Keep going, keep going.
Did he get this right? The best and strongest XBLA titles.
That's on sale.
Yeah, great.
Not the cheapest.
it's on sale.
Trolls XD, also says, I missed one. Lara Croft, The Guardian of Light, which I'd agree with. Still haven't finished that. But Trolls HD, Castle Crashers, and Iron Brigade again.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess, no, that's it. That's it, right? There's no more pages. No, that's it. That's it.
Okay, that's it. Mr. Matthew, what about the lag community? What do they have to say? And, of course, we're going to go over ours at the end of this.
Well, Infant Dead Meat says Minecraft. Definitely Minecraft. He's very excited about it. And Sid says that Trials has been phenomenal for him. And then Thuper says, duh, Minecraft. Second, Keflings. Sooner Proud says Dragon's Lair or Explosion Man. And Instant Dead Meat apparently couldn't make up his mind, so he came back and said, From Dust and Shadow Complex.
Ah, yeah, Shadow Complex. Okay.
God, there's been some good games, isn't there?
There have been. There have been. Rich, we had some tweets.
Yes. Okay, so go over the gamey ones first. We had Steffi Business. Look, Steffi, I'm reading out your tweet because we missed his previously. Walking Dead. He's put that in. Worthy recent shout there for that. Mormon Rage. Mick. He's put in Journey. No question. Another game which makes me feel like I want a PS3. Yeah.
You're alright, mate. Don't worry about it.
I need one. I want. You know what? At the death of that console, I'm definitely going to pick one up when they get down to 99.
They might be coming out with a new slim version, Rich. There are rumors. They might be coming out with even a 16-gigabyte version that would be like their cheapy version.
That wouldn't even fit the updates, would it?
No.
That's a good question. I don't know if it would.
Orty put in, for me it's got to be Minecraft. It's the longest arcade game I've played. It's the longest game he's played. Can you tell the amount of hours he puts into that? And then winding back, these weren't that related to the question, but John Mouse, who's just walked past me in Minecraft and thankfully not started building any penises, he put in another great podcast. Cheers, lads. Rich doesn't need an anniversary booty when he can make sweet Skype love with you guys. I don't know what to think of that. I know Chris would probably have some thoughts on that. No? God, he's up for it.
He did just get off. He did have a Skype call with his quote-unquote family earlier, so maybe he got a little Skype love in too.
Okay. Good. Gangu Crimes, he put, at last, caught up with the gaming podcast, the Veteran Gamers, the Play Vault, and OC Podcasts are the best. Really.
Yes, thank you, Mr.
Crimes. No, we was last in that running.
Best, save the best for the last.
Oh, yeah, okay, like fair enough. Yeah. And that's the tweets, sure. tweets done.
Okay. The email we have doesn't actually go into the gaming part of it, so let's just talk real fast about our favorite arcade titles. What do we consider the best? I know Minecraft has to be up there for you, Rich, and you, Mike, probably.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I looked at my hours on Raptor, and Minecraft is up there with the games that I've played the most of all time since I started Raptor, which was 2010. So, I think the only one, it's pretty high. It's up there with Red Dead Redemption and Mass Effect 2 and like that in terms of hours. I mean, so it's pretty ridiculous. That's a bit of an easy option. No one said Limbo so far, which I'm shocked about. Because I adored Limbo. I mean, when it came out, I played it and played it again and then played it again. I played it 3 times. Where I could pretty much nail the game pretty quickly. I haven't played it for a while, but I just absolutely love the whole thing. So I would say Limbo, because no one's really mentioned that.
Okay. Mr. Matthew, what about you? What was your favorite XBLA or PSN title that you've maybe downloaded that you really, really liked?
Have we said Trenched?
Iron Brigade has been thrown out there a few times.
Yeah. That's probably the one I spent the most time on and I got the most enjoyment out of. It was really good.
Okay.
We need to apply that.
Yeah. Rich, what about you?
I've got to go with David the Alien with Defense Grid, definitely. That's the one that's probably had the biggest impact. And that was before I joined the podcast. I was hearing Little Gregors telling me about the deal, 400 points. And I trotted off to my Xbox, bought it, and thought, I need to talk to that guy some more. And here I am. Another one, not been mentioned, and probably not in agreement with many people, but I got a lot of hours of enjoyment out of the first Death Bank. Really enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah, you loved that, didn't you?
I loved that.
I never liked it at all.
No, I did really like it.
I remember you coming on the show and just talking about it all the time, and I was like, I just don't get it.
Really liked Death Bank. I didn't like the second one as much, so I just played the demo and went into it, so I like that one. Recently, Fez, I think, has been very strong this year. I like that. Love the charm of it.
I do feel like I talk about Fez and that he was on that film. I do feel like I should give Super Meat Boy another punt.
I thought that after watching that film. Yeah.
Because, I played it, and you know what? I don't know why I didn't. Maybe it's because I know it's very punishing, and I know that it's one of those games like Trolls, isn't it, where you're just going to get stuck on one thing, and it's very frustrating, but when you get it, it's great. And I just knew it was one of those types of games, and I was like, I don't feel like one of those games at the moment. But
now I don't know about Super Meat Boy, but I know the best part about Trials, even though it was punishingly hard like that, it was so easy to just hit the back button, restart, hit the back button, restart.
No, Meat Boy is the same. Meat Boy is the same thing. Like you restart instantly. The best thing about Meat Boy is when you finished it, it plays all your retries at the same time, and that's just so funny to watch all these little attempts. And just one makes it at the end. That's just brilliant. I love that. So, yeah, I do feel like I should be playing Meat Boy again and give it a buy.
Yeah. You know a game I'm going to throw out there that I just don't think many people think of it as a download title off PSN or XBLA, but Battlefield 1943. Tons of time in that. The whole community got into that. Great game that unfortunately, once the proper Battlefield started coming out, it fell by the wayside. But, I mean,
there's still people playing it. You can still get
it. They absolutely are.
Still get some games in there. I remember the first couple of days that came out, it didn't work. And I was like, it doesn't work. Oh, my God. It felt like forever, but it was probably just like 2 days or something. But it just felt like forever because I was so waiting for that game.
What do you expect to see, man?
I know, mate.
Yeah, true. And I think I would probably agree on the Orcs Must Die and Defense Grid, absolutely. That game, probably more than any other arcade title, just sucked me in. Just an addiction.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
It's a pearler.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you called them out. Like, what are they doing now, those guys? Like, what are they doing?
It's a good question. I think they're just kind of raking in money and sitting back. I mean, I'm sure they're developing a new game, but I haven't heard about it.
I've been regularly going back to their website, and there's nothing there. But I'd love it if they've struck up that little relationship with Valve. If they could get something going with them guys again.
That's the last thing they did, wasn't it? The DLC for the Defense Grid.
Yeah.
So they're hanging around with the right crowds if they're friends with Valve.
That green light thing, haven't they, as well? That seemed quite interesting. Have you seen that on Steam?
No.
Indie thing, isn't
that's it? That's right, yeah. Seems quite good. Stu will be all over it. Get ready, Mike. More PC
talk.
What is it?
What are we talking about?
Green light. They're basically creating like a voting system for indie games and stuff.
Oh, yes. I do know what this is.
It was quite cool.
All right. Well, let's wrap things up. We do have an email from Mr. Brian Tomlinson. Remember him from last week, Mike?
Remind me.
Yes. Well, he'll remind you. Okay. He says, "Hi, guys. Thanks especially to Chinny for the super warm welcome last week.
What did I do? Oh, yeah, I remember what I
pretty much repeatedly insulted him.
He was
asking for, back episodes that were noteworthy, were important.
Oh, yeah.
He goes on, he says, I went back and listened to every single podcast in full.
No, you didn't, you liar.
You'll probably have guessed I haven't slept for about 120 hours, and you're right. There weren't any classic essential episodes.
Told you. What a waste of time.
Yep. Signs off Brian. And then he came back with another email. P.S. The devil is sitting next to me on my sofa playing Minecraft with a controller made of still beating virgin's hearts and speaking to me in Guatemalan village dialect. I think I need some sleep now.
Okay.
Very good. Then a P.P.S. By the way, I think I insulted Susie Esselhack?
Yeah,
Esselhack.
Okay. SLH. SLH. When I asked her, are you one of the one who voices the What You've Been Playing ditty? I don't think she was very impressed.
She wishes.
Mike's got a new girlfriend.
I think
nicely done.
I don't think she'd accept me, Susan. I've met Susan in real life.
She didn't accept you. Okay.
No, she was at the Manchester meetup thing. She was there. Bless her.
Did she say hello?
No, she ignored me. Well, I didn't say hello to anyone because
he's a diva.
You're playing hard to get.
I was just spying everyone's face. Just went, whatever, go away.
Brian, thank you for the email.
Thanks, Brian.
Do a priest.
Seriously, though, go back to everyone. Like, this is no joke. Come on. Sort it out. Come on.
All right. Question for next week. How many games have you actually finished the campaign/single-player mode in this general console?
I'm going to do some hard research. I'm going to actually count. Yeah. I'm going to do it.
It's easy to do. All you have to go is go into your achievements. You'll be able to find all your...
And trophies.
And trophies. And trophies.
Steam accounts.
Steam accounts for those PC lovers.
When you say completed, do you mean finish the story or
just the campaign and or single player mode. So there are certain games that don't have a quote unquote campaign, but they do have a single player mode that you kind of play through and there's a finish. So how many games have you actually done that for? It's not 100%, achievement score. It's not 100% trophy score. We're talking about just completed the actual game. And I wanted to throw this question out there because the people that made The Witcher 2 were talking, about how a lot of people weren't realizing there were multiple endings to their game and they would never see it. And other developers have talked about how very few people get to the end of their game. So
I think the Hitman guys was talking about like only 20% of players will finish their game.
Yeah. So it just got me thinking. So I'm curious to see how many have we actually completed. So there's your homework. Get it done.
Get it down.
All right, Chris, it is your time to shine.
Is it?
Community play dates. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had you talked about this in a long time?
Yeah. You know why? Nothing. Forza 4 Hot Lap Challenge number 20 ends 2 weeks from today. No. Week and a half from today, a week from Friday, something like that. There's some Forza 4 madness going on. Check out Kenneth I Am if you want to play some Tiger Woods. And
remember,
Invincible is having a little Red Dead Redemption roundup.
Yep.
And this week with the veteran gamers on Sunday, Mass Effect 3 with Chinny.
Yeah.
And why?
Yep.
Because Duke's on holiday, so they can play something relevant.
Oh, okay.
And this poker nonsense.
I haven't been around in a while, and I didn't want to make enemies, you know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Happy birthday this week to Dave 1707, GamerGirl 27. I'm a poster, Gonzo FK. And welcome to the new members, Psycho Womble, Ruffinch 1983, Sparky 0845, and Ordrex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that dives us right into the old community spotlight. So we'll let Parsnip take it away right about now.
Go, Parsnip!
And we're not hearing anything because I didn't bother to load it up. We'll just do it post-credit. But he is thanking... hang on, I'll find their names real fast. There's some new moderators and some
Super
old moderators.
Best Dutch and Suspense.
Actually, he didn't think that he only did congrats to Marcanix and Dino for being made admins.
Oh, okay.
And then he was thanking Betty Bear, Mosher, and Redcap as retiring moderators. So my guess is Thuper may have been promoted today or something after this happened.
Probably thank the new moderators next week, yeah.
Yep. So, all right, here we go. All right, Parsnip, thank you for that. And yes, absolutely, congratulations to Marcanix and Dino.
Congrats.
And, of course, a warm thank you to Betty Bear, Mosher, and Redcap. Moderating's tough stuff. It's not easy.
It's a job.
It is a job. Thankless hours, or more thankless time. I don't know. How would you say that?
Thankless task.
Thankless task, yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of thankless, this podcast. All right, let's wrap it up. Emailing the show. Mike, if you're going to email the show, where would you send an email to?
That's a good question, Greg.
It is a great question. I ask it every week.
Yeah, I should know, shouldn't I? It's ocpodcast@gmail.com, Greg. That's what it is.
You're good. You are good.
ocpodcast.
But Rich, if somebody wants to tweet you or the show.
Yeah.
Okay, just the show, not you.
Yeah.
What would that be?
OC_podcast. Stay away, my wife.
And on the off chance, Chris, that someone is going to leave us a voicemail. It's happened before, you know.
I know, but it probably won't happen again. But
probably not. But
just in case, 626-506-2763, leave us a voicemail.
Yes.
Leave iTunes reviews. We like those.
Yeah, we do.
Yay! Leave
we need
an
more.
iTunes review, please. Forget the Zoom.
All right.
Kill the Zoom.
The Zoom is pretty much dead.
Yep.
Let's face it.
Oh, my. Greg has just admitted it. Wow, that's the
Greg
first time.
Hanging on, No, I killed my Zoom. I mean, I didn't kill it. It's still alive, but I don't use it anymore.
There are no more Zooms.
Yeah, my phone has become my MP3 player.
Huzzah.
See? Consolidating devices. I don't need to carry an extra device.
That's right.
You don't need it anymore. You don't need it, Greg.
I don't. All right. We need shout-outs, though.
Yes.
And I'll start it off.
Okay, now.
A shout-out to Spock. He jumped in. He sent me a message saying, you know, if you'd like to, I'd love to play some Ghost Recon Future Soldier. I haven't really gotten into it too much.
And you
I
say what you always say, send me naked pictures and we'll talk.
Well, not quite. That's
just
you. I kind of just ignored his message. I didn't realize he had sent me the message. And so, like, a half hour later, I see that there's a message from him. I listened to it. I felt really bad. So I jumped in, got him to come into the game. We played a few rounds, had a good time. And, you know, Spock, you're coming around. You're doing great. Keep at it.
You do all right.
Ghost Recon is as much about killing the enemy as it is supporting your fellow teammates. And that's what I love about that game. So, there you go. Cheers to Spock. Rich, go.
You fellas, because it's good to be back together again as one big
party. Yeah, it's the first time we've all been together for a while.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good. And...
Sorry, it's getting in the way.
Yeah. Never gets in the way for me, Greg. Don't you worry about that, mate. Me and you, all the way. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Story time. Just a little one. I'm going to shout out N.K. Jemisin, who wrote a book called Killing Moon, which I'm in the midst of at the minute. My cousin and a lot of his mates have started up a book club for boys, where basically every 2 months you throw some books out and everybody's got to read them. And I've not been reading books for God knows how many years. I think the last set of books I read was Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time. And this one has been thrown out as the first book that we're all going to get together and drink beer and talk about and be proper nerdy blokes. It's brilliant. It's very good. If anybody's into Game of Thrones, with regards to a fantasy novel with a lot of intrigue and backstabbing and plotting and stuff, definitely up your alley, and it's worth a read. It revolves around the extraction of different things out of dreams and using that as a commodity for magic and so on. There's a lot of political intrigue in it. Worth taking a look at. Killing Moon, first book of, I think it's the Dream Something Saga. But check it out. Have a look.
Okay.
Very good.
A Man's Book Club.
Yeah,
what
Man's Book
next?
Club.
Women yeah. Drivers.
I'm gonna be out of my depth. I've got a deputy head of a school who's one of the members. The dude at Game of Thrones might be in it as well. Another guy that's at university and studied theology, and anyway, it's all above my station. He sent an email around, and the thing he put in for me was gaming podcaster. So that's all I've achieved in my life, and it's the height of.
Ah, congrats.
Yeah. Well done for being a podcaster. Yeah, moving on. Mike.
Two, bless me.
Brilliant timing.
I couldn't reach the mic. I'm sorry. Yes, I'll shout out GH Rocker because he's been playing some Mass Effect multiplayer with me. I haven't talked about the multiplayer in Mass Effect, but I will say that I really enjoy it. I think they've done a fine job. It's horde mode in Mass Effect. That's pretty much it.
Yep.
And that is fine by me. I played the new DLC as well, the Earth maps. You can't really tell it's Earth because it's all metal platforms in different like levels and stuff. It's fine. It's just more maps. Nothing special. And there are people still playing Mass Effect multiplayer, so that's good. And usually people are pretty helpful, you know, they get you up and they stay together, and most of the time we do all 11 waves, so it's pretty good. So shout out to GH Rocker for seeing me through that. Shout out to Dave. You won't know who Dave is. Dave is a goldfish that dies. Funny story. So my friend moved into a new house. And his flatmate is on holiday, right?
Wait, his flatmate or fatmate?
Flatmate, or housemate. Got it. He's on holiday. All right, and, you know, his name's Johnny, and he says, you know, move in, whatever, you'll be fine. Johnny has a goldfish in a bowl, right? And the Matt was telling me, the bowl seems to get dirtier and dirtier. It's like, well, is it just a little bowl? And he says, yeah, it's just a little bowl. I said, well, you got to change the water. Like, it's dying. And he said, no, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. Anyway, I went round for the first time, and he showed me the house. And he went, here's the kitchen, here's the goldfish. Dead. So, yeah. And the goldfish name was Dave. So, shout out to Dave. And that's it. Me done. Chris.
Okay. Well, I want to shout out you three clowns since I've been gone for a couple of weeks. Shout out the listeners for putting up with our amateur hour or amateur 2 hours.
Yeah.
And we'll probably get a shout out to him next week, but I want to shout out Super Best Dutch and Scott Spence, a.k.a. Andy Barker, P.I., a.k.a. King in Yellow, a.k.a. Yummy Bacon. He changes his gamer tag about every week or so. They've all been selected as new moderators, so congratulations.
That's like breaking news.
Breaking news.
That is breaking news.
Breaking news. Yes, congratulations to them. And congratulations to you, the listener, for making it through this podcast. You've made it this far.
Well done.
We're sorry. Well done. And we're done.
Bye-bye.
Ja, maar fool.
Okay, first of all, let's recap here. LucasAid started off as a sports drink, or is it a ripoff of our Gatorade?
It might be the same company.
Why would they call it LucasAid? What the hell's that mean?
I don't know. What does Gatorade mean?
Well, Gatorade is because, at least as the legend has it, Gatorade was created at, I believe, the University of Florida, I think it's the University of Florida, which is the Gators. That's their mascot.
Legend.
And they created this sports drink for the team to replenish them on the sidelines because it's sweltering hot down there, and they had to replenish the electrolytes that they were losing because they were out on the field sweating so much.
Well, maybe this was created by Luca University.
We're going to record all the important things in our conversations, because God knows we're never going to podcast today, apparently.
Can't believe you disturbed my Breaking Bad.
Hi, Primrose.
Yo. Homie.
So, Chris, how's life treating you? I mean, I haven't talked to you in a little while.
Yeah, Chris, what's going on?
He's apparently walked away.
Going down. Yay, thanks for coming, Chris. Always chatty.
Quite conversationalist.
Considering
I do like that we are going to be, I believe, listening to him cook popcorn right now.
Yeah.
Am I in an
silence?
Am I in an inside? He's lost his English.
I'm in a minute.
No, I threw out the theory that you were in a missile silo.
Oh, a missile
somewhere.
Silo.
Yeah, somewhere in the Midwest, and you couldn't tell us that you had moved to this new secret location.
No, I'm in Alabama.
All right. Nope, I'm in Alabama.
And that is without giving any spoilers. Very cryptic, but yeah, because I wouldn't like him to make the mistake I had.
I probably won't.
No, because you're a lot brighter than me, Michael.
I wouldn't say that. Just cool.
You're the cooler one, you.
Come on, then. Let's get on with it.
We're doing it.
Fuck yeah, that was a change, didn't it? Greg, jeez.
I know.
I don't get that very often from Ridge.
All right, let me get some silence from you yahoos. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com.
What happened?
Well done, Gregory.
The .commie community.
Oh, commies. Did you have to say backside, Greg?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
No, he was talking about Chris's back alley earlier as well.
A bit graphic, you know what I mean?
All right, Minecrafter.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Not you. Are you Minecrafting too? Son of a bitch.
The penis makers just walked past my place that I've just set up. I think John Mar 5 is going to be setting up next door to me again.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about
too
RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.